Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe and Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes. Alongside me is Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by BetOnline.
BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup, breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. With the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, to political props. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline. The game starts here.
Welcome in, everybody. Adam, game yesterday. I honestly have to give a little bit of credit. I didn't think it was going to be much of a game. I really come on here and I said that Texas was a team like Ole Miss, but could run the ball. And defensively, you've got to give Arkansas credit. They only gave up 176 yards of passing. Yeah, granted, they gave it two touchdowns, one-yard pass. So, I mean, that was kind of a blown call or blown play there. But you only gave up 139 total yards rushing as well. So, on the defensive end, you did well. But offensively, again, another turnover. Leads to another 7 points, which had a key impact on another Arkansas loss. That pretty much sums up yesterday in a nutshell.
Yeah, you know, sitting there kind of trying to gather my thoughts as the game was going on because I was a bit baffled. I guess a lot of that was because I was expecting similar type results from the Ole Miss game. Didn't know what to expect. Didn't turn out that way. I mean, the game started ugly. Started defensively, neither team could really get anything going. I will say defensively, I was pleased. I didn't expect that defense to show up. It was still tough to watch on offense. So, you know, we had the interception, we had the fumble at the end of the game. It's one of those that I think, what did we talk about yesterday in text? Arkansas had been scored on 11 times after a turnover this season. And I mean, things like that in a close game are what are going to make or break you. And so, you know, you sit here, you had the number three team in the country on the ropes and couldn't get it done offensively.
Yeah. And timely, it's not the amount of timeouts, it's the timely. You sit there and turn the ball over. And I'll say this too, and I know a majority agree with us on this, you know, the interception was not on Green. Mm-mm. I mean, I don't care, and everybody wants to come back with some kind of remark or some kind of statement. Well, he threw into triple coverage. I mean, no, he kind of didn't, because if you really watch the play, it was double coverage. He threw the ball right to his hands, and then 16 was just kind of standing there. And he didn't even do anything until after the ball was already intercepted and down. So to really technically say he threw it in triple coverage, I'd have to disagree on. But look, at the end of the day, you're a Division I athlete. You are the best of the best when it comes to college football wide receivers. If it hits you in the hands, catch the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just plain and simple. It wasn't like he really had to reach for it. He had to jump up for it, both hands, and it bounced right off his hands. You know, mm-hmm. That's where, yes, that was completely on him for not catching the ball. Now, I know the kid at the end of the game, a lot of, you know, pressure was on him. Why do you – look, I mean, that's just one of the things that he turned up field and then lost the ball. It happens. Hope he learns from those mistakes. But, I mean, don't grill the kid too much. But also don't sit there and I don't think there should be much – complaints for putting him in. Maybe you put him in as a decor because you put the freshman in, you're not going to be looking at him. You know, you're always thinking about going to Broden or Armstrong. Put him in, maybe as a decor, and then you score the ball. I mean, it's just so I can see where they might have went with that. Kid caught the ball. He just fumbled it. You can't do that either way, whether you're a freshman, senior. The moment got too big, but it's one of the things that I think the what if of this season would be, what if we cut down the turnovers in half of these games? Where would the scores be? Where would we be at when you look back at this season? And then also look at Oklahoma State. Look where they're sitting in the Big 12.
I mean, I looked at yesterday, and a lot of my complaints offensively, and it's been like this in other games as well, is trying to keep passing the ball when it's maybe not working. And I get it. Yeah. The run game wasn't working a lot of the time, but you stopped trying. You got away from it a lot. You made yourself almost one dimensional. Where are these legs that we've heard about since before the season of Taylen Green that we've seen previously? You heard earlier or early in the game from the commentator talking before the game with Coach Pittman that, he's basically told Petrino, Taylen's at 90%, let him go, let it rip, let it go. And I still felt like there's a lot of reserve play calling. And I mean, I'm looking at the drive that we scored, the touchdown, we got in there and pounded the ball. We got in there and pushed them around. We caught them back on their heels. And then we just didn't do that any other part of the game.
When you look at all the times he scrambled, and two big ones mainly where he's in the pocket, daylight and right in front of him. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the coming out and around trying to get out of the pocket, opposed to if you run straight through and your line's holding up, you're getting an easy 5-6 yards, easy. And then get to the second level and then go from there. But I think the thing is a lot of that Boise State stuff where he thinks that he is able to just jump right out of the pocket and outrun everybody on the edge. And you can't do that. You know, you've got to be able to, you see the field, you see the hole open up, and then you run right through the middle. And instead of getting sacked or having to throw a ball away, and maybe it's a 4th-and-3 situation where you might go for it, opposed to 4th-and-7, 4th-and-10, and you're punting the ball. I mean, I think a lot of that decision making's on him. And I think for me, that's the biggest disappointment is this far in the season with a guy like Bobby Petrino, he should be able to know to, looking at film, watching film, see those type of things and hit those holes and gain yards, opposed to just running for the sidelines and throwing up a prayer.
Well, and I mean, I made a comment in a text group, and then a comment, I think, on a thread in Hog HQ that we finally, I think I saw Petrino yell once on the sideline, and I get it. Some people don't like that, but I know right after one play, I think he had either, it was a bad pass or something, came over to the sideline and Petrino was yelling. And that's, the first time I had seen that in a while. And I'm like, here we go. This is what we've been asking for. With the whole thing with Taylen and his running, I mean, I don't understand either. I think, like you said, going back to Boise, he's in this mindset of trying to get to the edge, get to the sidelines and run. I think that is one big key difference between him and Malachi. Malachi sees those gaps because we've seen it already from Malachi. He sees those gaps in the middle. He's taken off. And whereas Taylen's looking downfield and then trying to get to the edge, you're not playing against Mountain West defenses. Yeah. You're not going to always be able to outrun. Now, he did a couple times, got out around, I think on that touchdown drive, got around the edge. But it's one of those that he's got to tuck and run immediately and not try to flush himself out and then take off down the sideline.
And if that's a trust thing between him and his offensive line, that they need to work that out. Because if he doesn't trust his offensive line where he can come up the middle and then get those yardage, that might be an issue. But when you see how the line's blocking, I mean, we see it from a different angle because, when they show the camera angle, you're up a little bit higher. We don't see what he's seeing at ground level. A couple of them, again, could have been 10, 15-yard gains, keeping the drive alive. And in a game like 20-10, look, you don't know what one drive could do for your team and staying in it. And so it's weird, like the game – one, it just didn't live up to the hype. It was just, I guess maybe it was the 11 a.m. kickoff. I mean, It was 20-10. I thought it was going to be a lot more, a bigger blowout. I mean, my opinion on it, but it just seemed like, again, what we used to say about the defense, we're saying about the offense this year. Look, you're struggling on offense. You know that you need to score more than 20 points to beat Texas. You know that you got to come out on fire, and I just didn't see that. Now, I will say in DeBinion's defense that he's a totally different running back than he was last year. A lot of this zone read stuff, a lot of this stuff bouncing to the outside, they're looking for a hole. DeBinion, he's wanting to hit it. How he's able to find the hole and go for it quick, very impressed on that. You know, Jackson's just a bull. He wants mm-hmm. to go straight forward and get as many yards as possible.
And I was kind of surprised, you know, after seeing the availability report, that we didn't see Braylon Russell. It was one of those that I expected in a game like this that you were, from what we thought, going to try to run the ball a lot more. I figured we would see him. I mean, it's one of those, and you've got a 253-pound running back that is as shifty as he is, but also, you know, kind of like goes hand-in-hand with Quentin Jackson. You know, he's a bulldozer. He's going to run you over. I was kind of shocked to see it because I figured in a game like this, you're going to want all hands on deck.
That just makes me think of something there that they're not disclosing, but I mean, he was banged up in the last game. Mm-hmm. I'm going pure 100% health wise on this. So it's funny to see, you know, think about how you can really hide your second, third string guys in this injury report behind a starter, mm-hmm. because you can say, well, yeah, he's going to go, but he never sees the field, but you wouldn't really notice it because you do have Jackson mm-hmm. and DeBinion full strength. So if he just doesn't come in, it might raise some flags on a local level, but how they kind of loophole that into, I wonder if it was Jackson, would they have been able to leave him off the depth chart fully and then not play? You have to think about those things, and any coach is going to look for any kind of way to, if he is hurt, if there is mm-hmm. something going on, we're just going to leave him off the depth chart, because if he don't play, well, he wasn't a starter, so it's not going to be that big of a deal.
And we've seen it for years in the NFL. I mean, Bill Belichick, I think he had Tom Brady on every single injury report that came out. You knew he's good, you know, it was one of those, yeah, he's going to play, but I think they're still figuring that out in the SEC. And it's one of those that you think that somebody at some point is going to try to use it to their advantage, whether it be a starting quarterback, starting running back, who, you know, one of their key players. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those that I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more teams maybe just have a list of third string, fourth string guys, like out, probable, whatever. And then you just sneak in, you know, a starter here and there, or a backup that gets ample playing time.
I can't wait for Ole Miss to have the squirrel on the injury report. It's, you know, it seems like, you know, they started, and I know this has been brought up a couple of times, but ever since they got docked for their fake penalties or whatever, injuries, now they have a squirrel that just kind of happens to stroll on the field, causing a disruption. So, I mean, let's see if Ole Miss starts putting the squirrel on injury report in honor of Bill Belichick. But moving on in the season, we got two games left. The season has flown by. You're sitting 5-5, 3-4. And, you know, La Tech, you know, they, let's see, had their schedule pulled up. They won yesterday against Western Kentucky 12-7. So, you know, you're coming in 3:00 against Arkansas. Hopefully, I'm not getting too ahead of myself. Hopefully that puts you as the win, gets you bowl eligible. Next week's, or the week after that, Missouri's going to be one of them things. Like, I really think that's going to be the telltale of what happens with this program, because you're bowl eligible. Let's just go based on you win. You beat La Tech. You got Missouri coming to town. Do you want to set your pride aside of knowing where you could have been with this season and knowing, I really want to beat Missouri to get to that 8-7 wins and 8 with the bowl game? Or do you be like, well, we're bowl eligible. That's good enough for us. I think that's going to tell what happens in that game because Missouri's not that good. Arkansas is a better football team than Missouri. And granted, we say this all the time, and Missouri's beat Arkansas way more than Arkansas has beaten Missouri in the series. But I really still think Arkansas is a better team than Missouri. But that's depending on what team shows up.
Well, I think one big difference between Missouri and Arkansas and the preparation for that game is Eli is going to do and say whatever to get his team mentally ready. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen that out of from the Arkansas sideline. So, true. This is always a game that Eli is going to have circled every single year. He feels slighted by Arkansas in whatever which way. He's coming for blood every time. So at some point, whether you're Sam Pittman, whether you're a player on this team that has, you know, not beaten Missouri yet or whatever, you kind of need to look this like, I'm ready to shut them up. Screw the bowl game, because half of them are probably going to, not half of them, there's going to be players that opt out of the bowl game. We see it every year. So it's one of those that some of these guys need to go out and be like, hey, I'm going to smack Mizzou in the mouth as potentially my last game. Because who knows who's going to opt out of a bowl game? Who knows who's going to opt out of a, you know, Texas bowl game or whatever lower end bowl game we get to go to?
And look, let's just be honest with it. That might be the game that saves Pittman's job. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. This is weird how all this stands, because you get conflicting things of, is he going to, you know, you're going to get the hip replacement surgery, or is he going to ride off into the sunset? Is, you know, whatever with Pittman. But then you see the billboard, you see that, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But, you know, it's just, are we settling with a 6-6 season? Are we settling if we do beat La Tech, you get bowl eligible, but you still cannot beat Missouri or Texas A&M?
100%. I mean, it's one of those that I would rather hear from a coach, like, the importance of beating Mizzou than getting to a low-end bowl game. I get it. You want to get to a bowl game. That's circled. That comes with a lot of coaches' bonuses, things of that nature. But it's a bigger deal to beat Mizzou than to go play whoever from the Big 12 or AAC or whatever conference we're paired with in a Texas bowl.
Yeah. And, you know, someone said not that good. Well, I mean, yeah, they're sitting at 7-3, 3-3 in the conference. But, I mean, let's look at their schedule. Come on. The cupcake schedule that I said 10 or 11 wins because of the horrible – I mean, they got an easy schedule, and they're sitting at 7-3. No, they're not a good football team. Sorry. And I don't care. You sit there and say, well, look at Arkansas. That has nothing to do with it. If we're saying a team's not good and then you automatically want to bring up Arkansas, I'm not sitting here saying Arkansas team. I still think they're better than Missouri this year. So I think you get that monkey off your back. You end the season on a good note, a good win. We'll see what happens when everything plays out, because, you know, this was a projected 4.5 win team, Vegas odds, I believe. And you up that by 3 if you win 7. I think that's fair to say that's enough to end up keeping on with what we're keeping on with. But it's hard for me to understand that, yeah, you beat La Tech, but you still drop it to Missouri. Now you're 3-5 in the conference. You're 6-6 when you could have been much better, but you're not getting the performance out of the talent you have. That's what leaves the bad taste in my mouth of, do we keep going on down this road? That's where I stand with that.
Well, and I think a lot of it, because we really don't know at this point what's going to happen at the end of the season, coaching-wise. Part of me feels like, you know, which, like I said, we'll get into with the billboard, that stuff like that, I feel like, could be almost something that, say, Hunter Yurchek looks at and be like, you know what? I'm not giving in to you. I'm not going to give in to this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keeps him, whatever. I just get tired of the, we need consistency. The players need consistency. All these, you know, this, that, and the other. Like I've said before, and I'll keep saying this with the transfer portal and NIL, it shouldn't take 5 to 7 years to rebuild your team. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. When you have the opportunity to go out and get players, better players than you currently have on your roster out of the transfer portal, it shouldn't take you this long. And yeah, so I'm taking out the 3-7 season that, you know, we have a fantastic banner for hanging up in Razorback Stadium for the canceled bowl game, which just baffles me. Also with Jalen Catalan, who transferred to Texas.
But why are we celebrating? I'm sorry. I don't understand why we're celebrating that. Why are we celebrating a canceled? That's like, I pick on South Carolina all as a Clemson fan. I pick on South Carolina so much when they talk about their accomplishments, and Steve Spurrier got them a ring for winning 11 games, a ring. And we're sitting here celebrating a canceled bowl game that you didn't even play. And I'll say this, if that's what you're hanging up on your walls, if that is what you're hanging up to, moral victory or participation trophy, that says everything I need to know about where this program is. If that's our standard, what we're celebrating, then yeah, they're going to be perfectly content with the 6-6. And we'll wrap up the segment. We got 3 minutes left before we wrap up this segment. The billboard thing. You know, mm-hmm. When I first seen it, you first seen it, everybody started seeing it. You know, it was like, okay, I can see why this would piss people off. But when you really peel back the onion and you really step back from that billboard and everybody's pissed off about this person buying, that could go to NIL money. That could do, what play are you going to buy for $650? One. But what is it any different than any of these big following media people or, and I'm not calling him out kind of, but I mean, in a way, but just because of his following. Bobby Bones is a huge part of Arkansas. He is one Arkansan of the year. What is the difference between somebody of his following proclaiming his distaste for this program and more work? And I'm saying he's ever called for Pittman's job, but what's the difference in what he's saying negativity and people see that? I'll guarantee you, there's a lot more people that jump on his bandwagon when he says something negative about the basketball program, football program, or what he's seen from his suite than that billboard on 49. Mm-hmm. So I really think that it's the easy target to sit there and jump on this person and or whoever and jump on the bandwagon of, well, that's distasteful, that's trash. We are all guilty of the same damn thing. We've said it on this podcast. Everybody on any podcast is known for just being negative about the whole fan base and the team. What is different? There's no difference. It's just a billboard that a lot of people could see. You don't want the optics of people driving down 49 and seeing the displeasure of this with your coach and the football team. But yet, let's again go back to what you just said. You want to sit there and trash someone for putting a billboard saying it's time for a change. Well, the change is let's stop celebrating canceled bowl games. How about that one?
Well, you know, the posts have been had comments from both sides of it. You've had people that were gung-ho on it. Yes, this needs to happen. You had people that the distasteful side that this is dumb. It shouldn't be done. This was a slap in the face. This, you know, the players had to ride by this, that, the other. I kind of look at that like we also see some of these same people that say that it shouldn't have been put up, the players had to ride by this. Some of these folks are also the same people that will bash the team on social mm-hmm. media or critique. I'm like, bash may not be the right word. They'll critique the team on social media. Players see that.
Players see that. They respond to it.
So using the excuse of it being distasteful because the team bus rode by it is asinine because they see everything else as well. I feel like it's more amplified. Is it just because somebody spent money on it? How do we know what somebody spent? Yeah. That could have been whoever owned the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that.
But I would like to know. I would like to know that, you know, people had the reaction. And I think, again, because I say when I first seen it, you're like, okay, this is kind of weird. But I was like, wow, somebody really did that. But when you really take a step back and you think about it, it was really seeing somebody's question on Twitter that really got me thinking, wow, is there any difference than what somebody with the stature of Bobby Bones says when he's not happy with the program? There's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
He has a national radio show. He has a national platform. He is the Arkansan. He is the super fan of that stature, other than like he's up there with John Daly. You know, when it comes to fans that represent Arkansas that are someone famous, he's up there. Whether you like him or not, he still has that stature. So I really want the people who sit there and they want to criticize and really think it's distasteful. I mean, you can have your opinion, but yet we also like and cheer on and jump in the comments when there's other people who have said the same thing. It just wasn't on a billboard.
Well, and you know, social media obviously wasn't a thing, circa, or Facebook was just getting started, if you will, around this era. But I mean, we also saw a Fire Houston Nut banner, you know, being flown around way back when. And you know, there's a lot of people talking about like how we ran them out of, as fans ran them out of town, and how what we fell into over the course of the next decade plus. And I'm just sitting here, Kenneth, but were you saying that when it was happening? Or are you saying that now because of the hell that we've gone through as fans?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, you're saying this now, but I would venture to guess a lot of the people that have an issue with this billboard also agreed or thought that the Fire Nut banner was funny back then.
Well, everybody cheered for the Welcome Home Bobby Petrino banner that flew over the Duke game, you know? So it's them things that you see. I mean, it's one side of the other. When it's good. And then it's bad, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you can agree or disagree with what you thought about it, but we really need to think about, is it fair? And here's the thing. It's easy to judge when you don't know who did it. You can say, well, that was horrible, because you're not talking directly to the person who did it. But, you know, it's just one of the things I really want people to think about, who really thought it was distasteful, to sit back and be like, okay, well, we've said things that the players and coaches, I mean, everybody has. So, and that's been the top of the media. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. After the commercial break, we talked to somebody who is building one of the most unique type of home housing developments in the Fort Smith area, but who knows a lot about, when we're talking about planes and banners, and he's seen a lot of them this year at Drake Field. And we've even shared a couple of videos of Drake Field and the amount of jets and how that could be tied to the NIL game. But we'll talk to Justin Tisdale from Patriot Air Park right after the break.
Searching for premium grooming products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance.
And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Meador's Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today and let's build something amazing together.
Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Look no further than ATU Ozark Campus. As a two-year satellite campus of Arkansas Tech University, we're dedicated to a quality workforce education. Industry partnerships for in-demand jobs and tailored paths for success. Our programs are led by industry professionals. Whether it's a certificate or you're aiming for a graduate degree, ATU Ozark has you covered. Visit our website at www.atu.edu/Ozark or contact us at 479-667-2117. Your future begins here. Welcome to Ozark Area Chamber of Commerce, where our mission is simple: encourage, promote, and aid an enduring environment of shared economic opportunity and civic development for the Ozark, Arkansas area. Whether you're a local business owner or a resident, we've got something for you. Shop our unique local businesses, explore the beauty of Ozark, and savor local flavors and find cozy accommodations. Join us in building a stronger community. And to learn more, contact us at 479-667-2525. Remember, together we thrive.
And want to welcome you back to the Hog Talk podcast. And we go now via the Meador's Lumber Hotline to bring in Justin Tisdale from Patriot Air Park. I really appreciate you coming on and joining us. And I know you got to go to the game yesterday or fly into Fayetteville yesterday. You sent me a couple of interesting videos of Drake Field. So I appreciate you coming on, man. Hold on. Muted. Yeah.
No, he wouldn't. Let's see. Can't hear him.
Well, we'll try to get the sound going. He's on twice on here. Let's see.
Ooh.
Live shows at its finest. What about now? There we go. Yeah. Yep, got you now. All right. Hey, man, welcome to the show.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, okay. So I was on the Safari version. Hey, guys. Yeah. You know, you guys are out here talking about those banners that were flown. I actually know the pilots that did those. and I can tell you right now, those are probably not ever going to stop because the people that are doing that, they love Hog Nation. They've been a part of it for, you know, 40, 50 years. For one of them, the one that you were talking about with Houston Nutt. And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but everyone out here at Drake and Rogers Executive, man, everyone loves the Hogs. And you were saying I flew in. You know, it's crazy because I fly in just about every Friday, Saturday from Fort Smith. And it used to be like maybe 3-4 airplanes on the field during a game day. Man, I seen that video. You know, there was probably about $600 million worth of jets and general aviation aircraft on the field. That has not ever happened out here before. Even during like Texas games and like the Tennessee games and stuff like that, you know, you'd get like King Airs and stuff in, which are pretty expensive, about $2 million a pop. But it was just, there was no room to park. Luckily I have a hangar up here, so I didn't have to worry about it. But man, it's crazy to see what NIL is doing. And you guys have been kind of briefing and touching on that.
You sent me the one about the Tennessee game. So we'll back up to that one. You're talking about craziness.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're flying in and then you're seeing this and you are getting the scoop on what this has to do with, did it surprise you? Like, okay, NIL is here. And did you ever think it would get into that realm of, you know, you think college football players getting paid, it's going to be a car dealership or, and then we did see Jackson Dart. He did sign a deal with a private jet company, but did you ever think it would get to this point of people are actually flying in for the game, not traveling with the team and then flying back out?
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is like Arkansas is a good example, like the volleyball teams, the golf teams, all that, they all fly together on the same airplane. Football, it is not that way. Tennessee, when I landed, you know, I saw all the jets and the King Airs and, you know, I didn't have a place to park during the Tennessee game. And Tennessee, they're great. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team. But to see the amount of money that was being spent was wild. And then I was like, oh, you know, this is just people that are coming to support the games, right? Man, I sat across from the airfield on a taxiway watching the bus come in and, like, let everyone off and everything. And it was like two players would go to one jet, three players would go to the next jet. Like, they were not all getting on the same one. you know, I probably sit here and watch 20, 25 jets take off for the Tennessee game. And, you know, I was talking to those pilots when I was in there, and they're like, yeah, they're like, this is just the way it's worked for us this year. Next year is going to be even bigger. You know, to think that that's the level that college football has gotten to due to NIL, is crazy. But I mean, you can't drive down, you know, MLK or any place there in Fort Smith too. You know, you go by Canes, you see the advertisements, right? This is huge. And I'm so grateful that those kids are getting that opportunity. You know, they're going to get to get a little money in their pocket. Hopefully they're smart and, you know, financially and invest in good things. But man, it's crazy to just think the amount of money that's being spent.
And you've been a fan, you've been around the program up there in Fayetteville for a long time. And what have you seen change in the program at Arkansas, just Arkansas specifically with this NIL and then bringing Bobby back and Cal coming in? What have you seen just from, I mean, I guess you can kind of say a bird's eye view. You fly over, you can see game days, you can see everything, but yet being up there on a day-to-day basis, what's been the biggest difference you've seen with where we are in NIL in Arkansas?
Yeah, NIL is its own thing. You know, I think everyone, when it first came up, everyone kind of said it was going to ruin college football. I mean, I'm still kind of maybe on that shelf a little bit. You know, I'm watching kind of the victory things, and, you know, when they're doing touchdowns, they're going a lot longer, so the games are going a little longer, that type of stuff. But what you're really watching is you're watching kind of the fan base grow too, which is pretty cool. I used to fly over on game days, and it'd be like half a stadium was a good, like a real, real good time, right? Man, this past year, I've flown over almost every home game. It is packed to the nines. You know, there doesn't matter if it's cold, hot, raining. You know, it's cool. It's cool to see. Plus, I mean, with like the kids that are going into the portal and everything like that, you know, they're getting better offers from other schools to pay a little more for this and that, you know, and, you know, it's changing. I mean, it's becoming like a little mini NFL, and it's cool to see. But at the same time, I wonder, you know, I wonder if it becomes just the showboat, and what happens to the Arkansas program if they're not able to pay like Texas does. You know, Texas's NIL, that's pretty wild. I know it's supposed to be the same across the board and everything, but when you start factoring in the people that are sponsoring, like Falcon sponsoring, you know, a couple people on the Jets and stuff like that, you know, if Arkansas is only offering me Canes, Texas is offering me a private jet to fly in. I'm going to Texas, boys. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Texas also has a deal that with a local Lambo dealership for their players.
I saw that.
If they like are either voted like a MVP type of the week or of the month or something, voted up by the team, they get a Lambo for however long. But have you seen, you know, being out there in the airfields, I guess it's going to take the whole NIL thing and transfers and whatnot a little bit step further. Have you seen any recruits, whether it be high school or, you know, somebody that's not on that team, fly in?
You know, that I don't know if that's where I should be coming out with information on things.
Gotcha.
Because I'm sure I could get someone. Yeah, I think I'm sure I could get some in trouble. But here, I'll tell you this thing. You can go to this website called FlightAware. And you can see every airplane that's come in and look for the ones that are on the university payroll and watch where they're going, seeing what states they're landing in on days we don't have games. And you're going to figure out real fast what Arkansas is doing on the recruit side, you know, and that's flightaware.com. You can go to Google and do it. Put in Fayetteville, which is KFYV, and look for the university plane that's there. And, you know, I'm sure I'm going to catch hell for all this, but like, you know, It's all part of it. It's a fun game. You could figure it out before everyone.
Oh, listen.
Oh, we played it during the coaching carousel.
Oh, it's the flight trackers. I mean, that's on people's. They got that in the background because they know when there's a coaching change, people are camped out at Drake Field. I mean, so yeah, that's been a thing for a while, you know, with the. But yeah, that's funny you mentioned that with the recruits. And again, I don't know. We can speculate and say, or yes, we can or cannot deny. But yeah, it's weird how that can, you really got to tiptoe around those kind of things, but it happens everywhere.
We saw KJ was at the game this weekend. Yeah. I guarantee he flew in some way, shape or form from Florida.
Yeah. Maybe, so. Maybe.
You can find that information out very quickly. Just saying. And the other thing, I'll put you on another one. If we ever go through like a coaching thing like that again, Fayetteville's a good one. Rogers Executive is a good one to watch. But there's a small one that used to be owned by Peterson Farms called Crystal Lake. That is big enough and long enough to land a smaller jet at. Mm. And you want to know where Bobby Petrino landed when he came in? That's where he landed the first time.
We'll share that link to us, you know, when we get done here, you know what, and you know, maybe anybody, but yeah, Crystal Lake. Yeah.
People taking notes.
Yeah. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in Decatur, Arkansas, you know, but it's right there by XNA. So they fly the same approach, and then it's 10 miles to the west of it.
Learn something new every day. That's awesome. Yeah, hey man,
it's out here. We're, you know, if I want to get paid for information, I'm sure I could, but
there you go.
You know, well, it is what it is.
Well, moving on to, you know, what you do for a living now. I mean, this Patriot Air Park, I really got intrigued by watching the video that y'all posted of these planes really flying into, you know, you always fly into an air park and then you get carried to your hotel or whatever. But some of these homes you're flying in and you're parking underneath your house and your house is above the hangar. But then you have this whole development in Pocola, which is right outside of Fort Smith. So talk about what really got started with that and really the impact that it can have on the community. And you're talking about this NIL stuff and this coaching stuff, you know, how that can really help grow the area down in Fort Smith.
Yeah. So Alex Cardenas started Patriot Air Park. I got brought on board this past year, project manager and partner investor. And what it is, it's an air park designed basically for you to live with your plane and, you know, love where you live, land where you love to live. And, you know, aviation's a lifestyle. Everyone that's in it understands it. People that are not, maybe not so much. But, man, once you catch the bug to fly, it becomes a whole thing in your life. I'm living an example. I went from, you know, growing up super poor to being able to be out here, you know, at Patriot Air Park. Full disclosure, I'm actually up at Fayetteville in the hangar right now. But down at Patriot, it's in Pocola, right outside of Fort Smith, about 2 minutes. We've got a nice hangar out there. We're building 56 individual duplex units, 200 homes, along with 14 $1 million aviation homes with hangars at them. So you can fly in. We've also got a Mexican restaurant. We've got a little commercial center going in, hopefully for some nails and hair salon and ice cream and stuff. So be able to come in, but it's not just for people that fly. You can drive in, come and hang out. We'll have the ability, if you guys have ever spent any time up at Fadden there in Bentonville, it's along the same lines, but ours is more of a destination home point versus a municipal airport destination. So if you're interested, you know, we'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you. But when we talk about the impact of it and what it's doing, is you have to go back and understand what also is happening in Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas, along with, I don't know if a lot of the viewers are know this or not, but the F-35 program came into Fort Smith this year. It's a 20-year contract where they're coming in to basically train them, Finland, Singapore, Germany, Finland, Poland. There's a ton of countries signed on for this. So it's basically like a $19 billion economic impact over the growth of like 2 years is what they were assessing just for 2 years, which is crazy. And that's not just in Fort Smith. That's a 500-mile ring, which Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas, you know, hits that ring. And the growth that we've had up here anyway, just in housing, you know, real estate development, the Fortune 500 companies that are here, along with like Nabisco and all of them coming in, you know, you can't go out to an airport up here and not bump into someone that lives around here traveling for work somewhere. So it's kind of cool to see. And we're more of like a homebody unit down there. It's more of like grassroots, come hang out, learn aviation, be part of a community and, you know, come down and hang out.
How, or I guess, is there like a time frame of all this expansion happening? Like, are we looking at next year, 2 years, 5 years?
So we've already broke ground. There's a 10,000 square foot villa on top of the hill, which is our like basically our like clubhouse. More than welcome to come down, stay at it. You know, you guys, Porter knows this. I've talked to him about it. You know, if you guys want to come out and do a podcast, we'd love to have you. We're already there. We've got a 2,300 foot runway. You know, we're building every day. We're building duplexes. We've already broke ground on that. We're doing curb and gutter roads. They're already done. They're named. So when you start talking about maybe like time frame wise, by January, we'll have our first set of duplexes done from what it looks like. And then we're going to just start on single family homes along with a $1 million house over on Millionaire Row, which is mine. And, you know, the sky's the limit. We've already sold a ton of acreage out there. We're selling individual lots as well. So you don't have to build right now, but we'd love for you to come in and take a look. On Millionaire Row, they're $100,000 a lot for an acre, but you know, that's with a 50 by 50 hangar that you'll put on it along with your home. And then single family lots, which are more of our 1900 square foot homes, things like that. We're doing about 40,000 per lot right now just to get growth going and pay for the infrastructure. And we're almost done on those first 10. Once those are done, we'll probably, you know, take the price up, because that's just kind of how development works, is you give the people that invest early the better chance to get a return on investment. But, you know, you start talking about return on investment just in real estate in Northwest Arkansas, you know, up here it's huge. Fort Smith, it's huge. Pecola, you know, the amount of people that are coming into this area is insane. A lot of people coming from California, Arizona, Florida. You know, people are trying to escape, and they say there's a mass land grab in Oklahoma, and we're part of it right now. We're 2 minutes from Fort Smith, but we're 1 mile across the line. And so we're feeling it right now. And it's amazing to be a part of it and see. So I'd love to, you know, introduce anybody that wants to come out, be a part of it. We've got a huge lake out there. You can come fish for free for right now. We'd love to just talk with you. So come hang out.
Yeah, definitely. And that's all. I mean, realtors, that's anybody out there that's in wanting to get into helping them sell these lots, customers, consumers. But, you know, you talked about just the area there. Is it similar for those in Fort Smith? When I went out there and I got the vision, it was almost like what Chaffee Crossing's doing. You know, you're building this whole development. Then they have the shopping area right there, right next to Chaffee Crossing and the medical school, you know, so it's, if that is how that all goes around, you're building around it. I mean, that's just going to make, it's going to make Fort Smith eventually over the next years kind of almost rival Northwest Arkansas with the potential of what you're building.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, I was up here 12 years ago when kind of the boom was kind of the start of it. You know, the crash happened, people started picking up property. Everyone's like, oh, we're kind of probably done with Northwest Arkansas. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, J.B. Hunt, the Joneses, you know, the Waltons, they started infusing money downtown in like Springdale. Bentonville's always had it, Fayetteville. But we're watching Fort Smith and the surrounding area basically be where Northwest Arkansas was about 10 years ago. And we're watching the same gradual climb on the real estate numbers too. You know, I say gradual, but they're just going straight up. Which is great for us, but like, you know, depending on what happens with interest rates and all these other things that I don't really want to get into, but, you know, we'll have more people coming into the market and, you know, we've got great people we work with for lending. You know, if you're interested in lending, you know, you want to sell your house, come out and build one. We've got people for that. You know, we build the homes ourselves, or you can build, you know, it's awesome. Oklahoma's also got a little bit laxed, on kind of like how it works. So you can do a construction to mortgage loan. There's all kinds of little things that you can do that you can do up here in Arkansas. They just take a little longer to do. So we're blessed in that sense. But yeah, we're watching the growth happen down there, just like Northwest Arkansas. You know, and we've got companies coming in to support that foreign military sales deal there at Fort Smith. You know, we got Lockheed, Raytheon, all these people are coming in and buying and trying to be a part of it, which is awesome. Chaffee Crossing is a great one too. The problem is when you go across the water, I think Porter and I talked about this, you know, Alex did a really good job of researching infrastructure, and over on the Fort Smith side, they're having some infrastructure problems with water pressure, sewer, things like that. Out with us, we don't have any of that. We don't have to worry about it. Everything was tested, perk tested. So like you're ready to start building the day you buy, basically.
So if somebody's interested, you know, tell them where they can find you, your socials. I know you even have a TikTok page, you know, people who are interested in your flying and your flyovers and stuff like that. Tell our listeners where they can reach you and get a hold of you if they're interested in coming out and seeing the property.
You can go to patriotairpark.com. You'll see all the links there. For me personally, you can just Google Moose-Flyer. I'll pop up. I'm a pilot across the U.S., nationally ranked, and doing a lot of things there too. Aviation is just, you know, one side of it, along with real estate and a bunch of other things. But if you want to come and hang out, just shoot me a message. Even on Facebook, you can find me. You can find me at Justin Tisdell, Moose-Flyer as well. Love to hang out. Love to talk. We do grill outs and everything out there on Fridays most of the time, so everyone's invited. We don't mind.
Well, we're definitely going to schedule to do a show out there, and we really appreciate Apache Air Park, you know, partnering up with us, and looking forward to watching everything grow right along with you, man. So I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely have you on again.
Yeah,
maybe during a coaching change.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bring a headlight.
There we go. Yeah, the headlight. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. All right. We'll catch you guys later.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, that was Justin Tisdale from Patriot Air Park, and the headlight thing we'll mention on a later show, you know. But interesting information there when you talk about. I think he name dropped a secret location. We'll definitely have to top some of those up, and we'll release those out to y'all when we get done airing here.
It'll be definitely something that, you know. I'm a curious person, so just to see what, you know, goes in and out, and then especially if there is changes, or whether it's, you know, with the off season coming up, you're going to have transfer portal guys coming in, so it'll just be kind of curious to see who we're going to get player wise to bring back.
Well, and you know that just if they're watching and it gets spread out, I mean, they're probably going to have to get another decoy. They're like, oh, they found their spot. But you know, it's funny though that, again, when you post the video out there, and I'm glad the timing worked out of having him on come on tonight, was a lot of people was like, no, there's no way. There's no way that this is tied to NIL. There's no way that, but the guy who pretty much lives up there, that's what sparked me to even bring that about, was I don't even think before this year you could fathom players flying in and out on private jets. And we've kind of teased it in past episodes and leading up to this interview. That's where we're at. Kids are getting private jets, one or two or three guys, and they're not riding the team bus back to a hotel and then going back. They're flying in. But you know what? I want to say this, though. It's nothing to really pick on Arkansas about. It's more of the people who want to donate, the people who want to start really thinking about this NIL problem Arkansas has. If kids are flying in now from Texas and Tennessee on private jets, you're thinking it's these million-dollar things or $500,000. It's already gotten bigger than we could even imagine. So it's why it's so important. We talk about the NIL and that. We're talking about a billboard when people are flying in on jets, Adam. That shows you, I mean, really people are like, well, you could have used that money for NIL. It's a lot bigger than what you think.
Well, and the whole private jet, I have no issue with players getting deals with companies, and whether it's a private jet company, a car dealership, a whatever. My issue, which this it's kind of a side part of what we're talking about here. My issue is the fact that these players are allowed to travel this way. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You should go to the game with your team. You should leave with your team. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't give a damn if you've got a private debt. You do that in your free time. Mm-hmm. But when it's game time, or we're traveling to wherever, because what's going to happen when, you know, quarterback A gets a private deal or a deal, NIL deal with a hotel chain? Or, you know, is it going to be, oh, sorry, coach, I can't stay in that hotel with you because I've got to deal with Hilton.
Exactly. I mean, and that could be that's what's crazy about this, Adam, is we have to think about everything now, because when everybody kind of talked about Jackson Dart, but then it left the back burner. It was put on the back burner because they're like, it's in the optics of, okay, this dude signed a deal with a private jet. Then you kind of forget about it. And then something like this happens, you're like, holy crap. In that video, if you go back and look on our TikTok, we posted the video of the Tennessee game. Drake Field was full.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it took Justin, I want to say a good, he said 45, 50 minutes just to get where he could take off and fly back to Fort Smith. So, people, that's why it's very important. I know that if we're going to make a decision, we need to start making the right decisions for these teams, because you got players flying in on jets. You got teams that are promised this and promise that. You got to have a foundation. You got to have a program that our kids going to think that their coach is going to be here. Or are they going to want to come to a 5-win team? Is Arkansas going to put the money in that they know they have to put in? You think $6 million for a basketball team? Now times that by 4, 24. You know, the whole Ohio State thing to me was like, damn, that's crazy. But now hearing this, I'm like, it makes sense. And no, I don't have a problem with them getting the private jets and blah, blah, blah. But you said it perfectly. That's you're getting personal monetization for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And even in the pros, they fly team planes. So, you know, it's crazy where we're at and where are we going to be this time next year when it comes to all this NIL stuff, the billboards, where are we going to be at? And I think we're going to find out a lot, or maybe not, maybe not. Maybe we're going to just stick with it another year. That's their decision. We can all have our opinions on it, but it really changes the game when you hear stuff like that.
I think we're going to be left in limbo for a while. I mean, we've heard from other media sources that, like, he's not going anywhere, that's how it is, whatever. But until the AD comes out and stands firm on it, then it's one of those things that's going to be speculated on.
Yeah, you know, we ain't saying nothing until AD says something about it. So, you know, that's what, so
don't need a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, no joke. I might just be like some people just saying a message board. They seem to get away with it by doing it that way. But, you know,
what it is.
Yeah. But, hey, coming up at 8 o'clock, Hodge HQ Live. They'll continue on the conversation. Adam, DP, Matt, they'll talk about Seeley signing with the Hogs, other recruiting news, things that we don't talk about on this show. Tune in at 8, catch the guys. Always a great show at 8 o'clock. But Adam, you got anything else?
Nope, it's break time.
All right, it's break time, potty time between shows, dual duty tonight as always. But hey, we'll talk to you on Thursday night as always on another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. Want to thank Believe, Bet Online, and Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios for sponsoring the podcast. We'll catch you on Thursday.